Kapha on opening the sutra.
The Dharma, incomparably profound and minutely subtle, is rarely encountered, even in hundreds of thousands of millions of ages. Now we see this, hear this, receive and maintain this. May we completely realize the Tathagata's true meaning. Thursday night, in talking about the Diamond Sutra, we began touching on giving. So I thought today I would continue that. In a way, giving is a nice expression of what our practice is, but even more, it's what our life is. Giving ourselves away to this present moment. Giving ourselves away to the conditions and circumstances that arise, so-called inside, so-called outside, so-called mind, so-called others. And getting to notice how we interfere with the present moment. We hold ourselves back from giving to the present moment. We set conditions and react to the present moment so that we miss ourselves. We miss this giving that is our life. Giving means listening, smelling, tasting. We have to give ourselves to the food that we eat. Otherwise, we miss ourselves. We miss the food. We miss the eating. We miss the people that we're with. We miss this very functioning, because we haven't given ourselves away. Instead, we hold on to ourselves. We use another word, self-centered, and we miss this very life, this ongoing changing moment as it appears and disappears. Okay. So what we usually do in these sort of talks, rather than me talking extensively, I just introduce a few words, and then this is the opportunity for us to talk together about our practice, about maybe what I said, maybe something else. You could bring up questions, comments, and together we could explore it in a way so that this can support and encourage our practice together. One of the most interesting things about giving, that in a way we touched on in the looking at this fourth chapter in the Diamond Sutra, is to notice our attachments, assumptions, expectations about giving. About giving in the most ordinary sense of giving a thing to another person, giving words, giving our attention, giving ourself. So one of the aspects in terms of what I started talking about this morning is to notice what added habits we, what should I say, make as conditions of our willingness to give ourselves to our life, to our practice. So I'll stop now and see what you all might want to bring up about this.
You just mentioned something about conditions and stuff. Does that mean what I hear you say that I won't give myself away unless certain conditions in life are met?
Yeah. For instance, I'm not willing to sit still unless I feel like I'm too agitated right now to do my morning zazen, or it's so wonderful. I need to go out and enjoy the beautiful weather. I can't sit, or I can't do this work that I'm supposed to do, or whatever. All sorts of ways that we set up conditions could be, I'm not going to give her what she asked for, because last time when I gave it her something, she did ABC with it, and I didn't want her to do ABC. I wanted her to do DEF, or she didn't say thank you nicely enough. Or, so that's what I mean by conditions. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm too achy to sit. I need to feel better, feel more relaxed when I sit. Even something as simple as that. Is that
word that comes to mind in this context for me is relinquishing.
Relinquishing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not clear about it, but it's something I wanted to bring up on Thursday night, but I had a little difficulty with it, and I'll try again. But sometimes it seems I'm unwilling to relinquish the hold.
The hold?
The hold, H-O-L-D, that I have on my self-image or my self-worth or my self-identity. And that sometimes that's encroached upon. I feel that.
Can you give an example? Be more specific.
Yeah. This morning, my wife and I had a minor dispute. I thought she should let go of something that I thought was insignificant, and it was important to her. Well, going to specifics is not important, but...
Well, you thought that she should let go.
I thought she was being unreasonable.
Oh, so you had an idea of how she should be.
Exactly. And I noticed that. And I noticed how unwilling I was to relinquish that hold on that, I won't say idea, concept, feeling, what all those things wrapped up.
No. Well, let's go a step further.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you were unwilling to relinquish the hold just on that idea, but you were unwilling to not then share with her that you were unwilling to relinquish that hold. In other words, you wanted to make sure that she knew that you weren't okay with her.
I disagreed with her. I thought she
yes.
Was being self-centered. And
she had to know that.
She knew that.
She knew
Oh, no, no. I mean, you needed to tell her that.
I let her know. I didn't say it in those words. My demeanor and tone of voice gave a perfect indication of the state of mind I was in at the time.
Ah.
And I immediately, and fortunately, I want to say, noticed, look what I'm holding on to.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this grasp that I have. And I don't even know what I'm grasping.
That's right. It's a habit that, if I sort of reframe it, we're willing to give ourselves to the person as long as they do something the way we think they should be doing it. So I'm willing to, you know, if I say it in your, you're willing to be with your wife as long as she knows that in terms of ABC, she's supposed to let go of ABC. But otherwise, you're not willing to be with her not letting go of ABC. Or at least she has to know that much you're not going to be there.
She didn't meet my expectations of what she should be.
That's right. And we then habitually react out of that, getting upset or angry or short or curt. And that causes harm and suffering for us and them. Mm. Yeah.
Let me take it a step farther, if I may. In that moment, I won't say this is usual for me, but in that moment, I had this little tiny insight that, look what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this interesting, you know? And I don't know, the atmosphere changed in the room. I don't know, but she just changed completely. Oh, okay, you can have that and take it with you after all. Sure.
Good.
There.
Good. So you noticed that you were,
I was holding on to something,
and you were reacting angrily.
Reacting irritatingly.
Oh, excuse me.
I wouldn't go back.
Okay, irritating. We all have different ideas about how the different shades of anger, and which are called anger and which are.
I've been angry.
Okay.
It's irritation.
But see, and then what's the skillful practice when we notice that habitual, almost automatic reaction, irritation, anger? See, until we notice it, we can't do anything. But when we notice it, that's our opportunity to practice, our opportunity to give ourselves to that moment, or to notice where we're setting up conditions.
I would say that what practice gives us somehow is, it's not unusual to notice being in that state and being caught up, but reacting like, what an idiot I am, I hate myself, and what a jerk, and mm-hmm. how can I be this way, as opposed to, well, that's interesting, look at this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a difference that practice develops.
Yeah.
At least I've noticed it that way.
Yeah, practice isn't about judging ourselves and grading ourselves or berating ourselves, or noticing when we do that and we turn practice into another way to berate ourselves or others. That's. We have to give ourselves permission to have habits arise as well. That's another part of giving, without being attached to who and what we have to be in order to give. Just like I don't have to feel any particular way in order to be present, in order to sit, let's say, or in order to simply be, except when I add on that condition. It's not okay for me to feel achy. It's not okay for me to feel, and you fill in what state of being isn't okay.
Well, when you talk about giving yourself to the situation of the present time, it seems easy concept for me, but that situation only applies to me alone, and it's in my control.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
About the situation, then giving away to the, when somebody else involved, whether it's your close one assembly of people at work.
Yes.
So giving yourself, does that require that someone else who is with you accepting that?
No.
No.
See, that's...
That I have problems with.
Right. So can we give ourselves to the other person not being accepting? That doesn't mean not seeing if there's something skillful to do, whether it's to stay there or to go away. If the other person's acting in a way that's dangerous, nasty, etc., we could say, okay, part of giving myself to being here with them is to leave. But it means, how can I be with them being as they are, rather than, or at least noticing where I'm saying, I'll give myself to you as long as you do A, B, C, D. See, if we set conditions on how the other person, what they should say or what they should do, then we're not really giving ourselves, we're just making a trade. We're saying, I'll be here when you do A, B, C. But that much, I'm going to hold myself back until I see A, B, C. That doesn't mean we can't say, oh, if A, B, C isn't here, this is too dangerous, too uncomfortable, unpleasant. I'll go off. That's okay. But it's different. Seeing what's skillful and appropriate to do in giving ourselves to being there, and then see, oh, you're smoking. I prefer to be not in the room when you're smoking, to pick a simple example. But can I be here right now if I'm forced to be here with you smoking for whatever reason? We're in a car and I have no, I said to you, please don't smoke, and you're still smoking, and we're driving. There's nothing to do at the moment except wait till we get to some place where I can leave the car. Then I have to be in the car with you smoking, despite the fact that I asked you not to. And there's nothing skillful that I could say to get you to stop. And if I try to take it away from you, it might cause you to fight with me. It might cause a crash. So it's not a skillful and appropriate action. I picked that example as an extreme one, but we all know situations like that. And it's not always other people that giving ourselves to. It's all sorts of circumstances that others don't even have anything to do with. Does that help?
Smoking is easy. And walking away is easy if you can. But what you say, if you cannot walk away, you are in a relationship and you're giving yourself in a way of kindness, caring.
Yeah.
And the other person doesn't accept it.
That's right.
Unconditional. You're giving yourself unconditionally. I'm taking that away. And the other person doesn't accept. How you resolve that?
Yes.
I'm giving myself away. At what point? And you said that's about you. You need to learn how to give yourself away. Well, let's say we do that. What if we are in a current situation that another person doesn't want to accept that? And I'm not talking about any condition.
No. But it's okay. See, it's okay to then say the other person doesn't accept it, and then to see what's the next skillful thing to do. Because let me just for a moment shift from the other person to, let's say it's giving ourselves away to ourselves, and we are ill. We have a sickness and there's nothing the doctors can do about it. How do I be present with the pain, the uncomfortableness that comes and goes, let's say, or doesn't come and go. Or I should say doesn't go. And there's nothing to do. Or maybe there is something to do. See, maybe part of what our task is to be willing to be here in order to be able to see what the if I'll use the word skillful and appropriate thing to do, is. So maybe there's not, being with this person is intolerable. So maybe there has to be some, what the next step is. There is no formula. But by being present, we can see more clearly. We are less, what should I say, caught up in our self-centered thinking, so that we can see that together includes me maybe leaving. Just like, or sometimes, if let's say our own condition, sometimes it includes me being here in pain, because there's nothing to be done with this right now, no matter what I do. Or maybe it means me being in pain but taking a walk, because that helps me tolerate the pain. See, in a way, when we're sitting, just sitting upright is the most simple giving away to the present moment, and all sorts of conditions or circumstances arise inside, outside, physical, mental, thoughts, emotions, and we keep giving ourselves, so to speak, away to the present moment means keep forgetting the self or the self-centeredness, so that we can be here as this is and develop the capacity to tolerate it, to more than tolerate it, to embrace it and be intimate as this. Some of you are familiar, Joko uses the expression resting on the icy couch. That's what we're talking about in giving, because it's giving ourselves away to this present moment, which when it's an icy couch, that's where we're resting. But it's not a matter of theory, it's a matter of the simple doing. It's very ordinary, but it's ordinary in the present moment, and it doesn't require anything extra, and yet sometimes there's a specific effort that grows out of our seeing what's happening and what's called for. Otherwise, there's no special effort, because it's just being as we are. We all have the capacity in being human.
And this conversation, it reminds me of a practice that I used to have about thinking about service in restaurants, checkout stands. And if I went through, let's say, the drive-up at the bank or the checkout stand at the grocery store, and I didn't get a thank you, come back, I would say, thank you, I'll come back. Trying to elicit my expectation.
Oh, so you would say it, but then look, that they should learn from that and they should say it back.
I was teaching. And I proudly did that for many years. But at some point, I'm not sure when or why, I changed to saying, thank you, have a nice day.
Good.
And I realized that the latter was actually giving. Former was not so much teaching anything except maybe a little bit of resentment and spitefulness.
And righteousness.
And righteousness, yes. Yeah, all of this. Yeah. And I realized that I do, for a while even, with the thank you, I did have an expectation of reciprocation.
Of them saying you're welcome.
Yes. Yes, I did, for a while. And then I found, and that truly wasn't giving. Yeah. And I finally, now, I feel like most of the time, I can say thank you, not with an expectation that they say you're welcome or thank you back. And it's just a gift for that day.
Good.
And those are small things, but it seems to have made a bigger difference than certainly the first tactic I was using.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Saying thank you and noticing if we add on, but they have to say, you're welcome. Or how come they didn't, or looking for.
Or they get that look, you know, the look. My mother's look.
It's a difficult gift to give, to allow someone, give someone the gift of being who they are, exactly as they are.
Yeah.
Where and ourselves, it's hard to give that gift to ourselves as well.
That's right. That's why it's considered a paramita, perfection. That's why I bring it up. That's why there's a chapter in the Diamond Sutra that talks about giving and no one giving and nothing being given, if I say it in such a way, and no expectation of a outcome, result. Or notice expectations. Fine, great. Notice every time you say thank you and I'll keep waiting for the you're welcome. And then walk away with, say you're welcome.
These people just don't know how to do their job. Nobody taught them right.
So is teaching, giving, if there are no expectations of the other person?
Well, yes.
Like they don't do their homework or
they you
like
can,
my example Thursday.
But that can include teaching. It can include saying, and this homework is due, or we're going to have an exam, and then, you know, grading it as you grade it. And then they get an A or a C or a D or an F. But notice if you add on, oh, they're a bad person because they got a D. Or, I must have done something wrong because they didn't get it all. How come? Or, you know, whatever. See, that's extra if we add on. Part of your role, if you're, quote, a teacher in a class, is giving grades. Maybe, maybe not, I don't know. But if it is, then that's part of what you do. And you get to see who isn't happy about getting a bad grade even when they don't study and don't do the work. And then
or
you get,
they think they don't. I've been guilty of that too.
Yeah. Or you look at what is skillful on my part to give this material to them. What they make of it is theirs. Mm-hmm. See, what's mine and what's not my business, so to speak.
We certainly have expectations when it comes to the jobs, that's what you say. From our students and our people we work with, we started with expectations. You saying a simple thank you, do you expect people to say welcome? That's a different thing.
But let's stop. See, having the expectation, it's important to notice if you have it. Then the question is, what do you do? How do you react when the expectation is not met? See, that's the practice realm. Expectations are just part of what people have. We have all sorts of expectations. Just like when we wake up in the morning, we might have an expectation that we can get out of bed and no aches. Or expectation that when we might have an expectation that we call someone and they'll be there. Why aren't they answering the phone? How come they didn't respond to my email fast enough or my text? Or, you know, these days people have expectations of constant availability of others on some medium.
I lowered my expectations years ago, so I don't get upset.
Good.
I don't have expectations as I say thank you. I don't expect, I just say it because I feel that's what I should say. If I give a gift, I don't expect thank you. I give a gift, I feel good because that's what I want to do. If they say thank you, they like it, good. If they don't, I didn't have any expectations. And I never would expect, I would never be upset if the bank teller doesn't, it doesn't matter. It really wouldn't matter to me. I wouldn't be upset about those little things. I wouldn't be upset even if I give something to an important person like my children or my parents. Because I did it because I wanted to do it, not because I want their thank you. So I don't know if I have very low expectations. But then it comes to work, it's different. I expect people I work with be available, be on time and do that different.
So, and then to notice what happens when they're not, or when they do it, however, whoever the they is, and the same with the expectations of ourselves. And then to see what is skillful to do when the expectation is not met. Or the other way is to notice our reaction, because if we're reacting angrily, hurt, sad, depressed, then we know there's some expectation that we haven't met or hasn't been met. So it's not that, quote, you should give in a certain way, but simply to notice what are we adding on when we give. Because what we're adding on and holding on is an opportunity to either release or to keep doing what creates more distress, dissatisfaction, pain, or in some cases worse. Okay, I think that's enough for this morning. Thank you all.
Caught in self-centered dream, only suffering, holding to self-centered thoughts, exactly the dream. Each moment, life as it is, the only teacher. Being just this moment, compassion's way. Caught in the self-centered dream.